Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Paul J. on vacation today. David Allen here, Chris Walton, Todd with 1D, pushing the buttons. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, pound 670 on your Verizon Wireless. This vote came down
The vote was coming down. It was a decision that came down, not a vote.
They were going to vote at 1:30 our time on Friday, and then Donald Trump called Paul Ryan.
This was on what they've been calling either Trump Care or Ryan Care, depending upon who you're more of a fan of.
Yes. Who you want to throw under the bus more.
Or less of a fan of.
That's true.
But the deal was that the Trump Care was designed to be an alternative to Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Affordable Care Act. So this was the American Health Care Act, and it's a little different. And interestingly, the people that held it up weren't worried that all of a sudden poor people wouldn't have any insurance. The people that held up the bill were worried that it still left the government in charge of medical care, which they do not like. And that's the Freedom Coalition, and Raul Labrador, a member of that.
Mm-hmm.
But they said, no, we kind of want it to be an open market again. And what you're calling Trump Care is just like Obamacare light. And so they said, no, we don't want that. And then, Ryan and the president and the vice president were all talking to people trying to get votes, and they just couldn't get them. Because the Freedom Coalition said, here's the deal. We do not want this to be taken care of by the federal government. We would like it to be taken care of by state governments and by individuals, which is also another thing. And so they didn't vote for it. But they kind of joined the Democrats in that because there wasn't a single Democrat that was going to vote in favor of it because they don't want to get rid of Obamacare.
No, of course not.
And the Republicans all wanted to get rid of Obamacare, but they want to replace it with something better or just get rid of that sort of thing altogether. You know, replace it with something where your average person, somebody like you or I, is not having to pay twice or three times or even more, as much for premiums. The problem that I think a lot of people had with voting for this is simply because, you know, the Congressional Budget Office said straight out that, well, this appears that it will remove 24 million people who currently have insurance from having insurance anymore, you know, that they currently get for free or complimentary or, you know, whatever you want to call it under Obamacare.
But of course, you never know how many of those were people who don't even want Obamacare, but they had to get it because they didn't want to pay the fine.
Everyone who was in favor of getting rid of Obamacare, they keep saying it this way. They keep saying, well, a lot of these states now just have one provider that you can choose, and we want to give people more of a choice. So, you know, we pass this Trump Care, and you'll have more of a choice. So you can buy this kind of insurance or this kind or this kind or this kind. And the people who can't afford to buy any of it are still saying, well, a choice isn't what we wanted. We just wanted some insurance. Even if it isn't particularly good insurance, even if it has a high deductible, they said we just want something. And we don't necessarily need to have a whole bunch of choices because we can't even afford the cheapest one.
So I have three questions for you.
All right.
One, should the federal government be in the business of providing health insurance?
That's question one.
Number two is, isn't it embarrassing for the Republican Party after 7 years of wanting to get rid of Obamacare that that's the best bill they could come up with?
That part is a little bit embarrassing because I think all they were trying to do is just replace Obamacare with something that would be more like before we had Obamacare.
Yeah.
In other words, you don't necessarily have to have insurance if you don't want to. If you do want insurance, well, you've got lots of choices in where to get it. But you have to, you know, go to work, get some money, and pay for it yourself.
And then my third question is, for the majority of Americans, and this is not a slam on Trump
Okay.
Every president has this. You know, they go in thinking, I want to get this done right away. Would it have been better to have the new tax laws put into effect in the first 100 days? Because it affects the majority of Americans more than health care.
Passing something
would have been better than
not passing something. It doesn't matter what it was.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, when you're early in your term, at least he feels this way. You need wins. You know, I need to have this workout and this workout and this workout.
I would agree.
If I nominate a judge, you know, I'm hoping the Senate will confirm him. If I bring up this bill and, you know, I'm backing it, it's somebody else's bill, obviously. But if I'm backing it, I want, you know, people to vote for it. And so he didn't get a win, but it was kind of weird. You know, he tweeted a few times some things that were, well, it was the Democrats' fault
does.
And it was this other fault. And I hope you people know you've done this, because it's the people who would most like to get rid of abortion were the ones who turned down the thing that would have taken away the funding for Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's like when somebody votes against a bill, but they say, well, it was a poorly written bill, so I voted against it. Well, you voted against education. Well, yes, in a way I did, but it was because this was a bad bill and I wanted a better one.
And a lot of times they have writers on there where it's like, hey, we're going to fund education and also euthanasia. You know, it's a small, and they're like, no, I can't vote for that because it's,
and they say,
you know,
we don't care about the kids in China. So euthanasia, not a big deal.
And then they end up slamming them because they're like, oh, you didn't vote for education. And they go, no, I just didn't want to kill people.
Well, that's why when you see like statistics, especially for congressmen or senators, they may mean nothing because you say, well, he voted against this and voted against that. Yeah, but you don't know why.
You don't know if there were eight different things on that bill and three of them he disagreed with. I just think it's a slam, and I think it's a black eye for the White House to fail miserably on this, and for the Republican Party. It's not just the White House; it's the Republican Party, because for 7 years, they've talked about is got to get rid of it.
Well,
gotta get rid of it. Got to get rid of it.
Especially Trump in the last year and a half, all he talked about was replacing Obamacare with something better.
Yeah,
repealing and replacing. And the repealing part was fine with a lot of people.
Yes.
The replacement part wasn't.
Not so good. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon Wireless. Would love to know what you think. At 8:46, though,
the David and Chris.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
Something will happen today to make Nate angry. See, that's what was so weird about last Monday, Chris, when Nate worked, is he was here at 4:40, and he didn't get angry till later, because nothing happened in the morning to make him angry. Not like I got angry on Wednesday or Thursday when I was out unhinged. But
so, I mean, what does he talk about when he's not angry?
Well, see, by 9 o'clock, he was pretty angry.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
fine. I ended up calling him a Nazi that day, so.
Really?
Yeah, which was kind of a weird thing to do.
Interesting. Was just fascist, was that what you're talking about? Or was
we were talking about a Donald Trump billboard that had hints of Trump being a Nazi.
Oh, I see.
And I said that you shouldn't do that. He said, well, of course you should.
Well, it's rude, but it's not illegal.
No. I never said it was illegal, but I said there should be ramifications to that. And he disagreed. And so I called him a Nazi.
There are from people who don't like rudeness.
Yeah.
But the cops won't pick you up for it.
That's true. Steve in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI with David and Chris. How are you today, sir?
Good. You know, you mentioned this a few years back. You said, is there anything the government has touched that hasn't cost more money?
Exactly. The answer is no, obviously.
And, you know, when you get a $700 hammer in the Air Force, you know, what can you expect from health care that government puts their finger on? Health care is a financial instrument. They've changed it. And if you remember when Obama was trying to get this passed, he says, no, it's not insurance, it's health care. And they changed the meaning of the term.
And yet it was just insurance.
Yeah. And so, you know, you need to separate the two out. If we're going to talk about health care, let's talk about health care.
Mm-hmm.
That's education, making people responsible for themselves. Smoking comes into play. Drinking comes into play. Drugs comes into play. There's a whole lot of things that come into this issue. And it isn't about the insurance. Insurance is just a financial instrument. When people figure that out, and they figure out that, you know, a loan shark can charge you 34%, well, what's the percent of profit for insurance companies?
You know, there are actually loan sharks who work for Citibank. Were you aware of this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Most banks, anyway.
I'm not sure it's up to 34%, but it's close.
You know, and so you need to get a handle on costs. Mm-hmm. And the first thing you have to get a handle on is your health. And well, in order to do that, you have to be personally responsible. Now, I understand there's people that have issues with, you know, birth defects and whatnot. But, you know, we need to take that into account and make mm-hmm. that a special situation.
Well, yeah, it does need to be a special situation because you can't necessarily dump those people into the insurance pile with the rest of us.
No.
Because insurance companies still are for-profit companies. And they
yep.
do insure people, but they won't insure people that they know they're going to have to pay for because, you know, that's just like any business saying, okay, today we're giving everything away for free.
Yeah.
They don't do that.
No.
You got to have a profit.
Yeah.
No profit, no business.
Now, if you want the government to control this, I mean, you could go like Canada and Sweden and the rest of them and just make it all free from the government, or you could leave it the way it was, a free market.
Well, and you know, once you start doing that, you have to control wages and the cost of production.
Well, you do, because you can't just say, okay, the government's going to pay for it from now on, and all the companies say, great, we're going to charge double. Because
yep.
they will if they can.
Yep. Why not? I mean, that's how you make money.
Yeah.
That's called profitability. No profit, no taxes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Steve, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Hey, guys.
But, you know, if we went to just pure socialized medicine,
mm-hmm.
there wouldn't be any need for insurance. I mean, everybody would have insurance, but it would simply be the government providing it
yes.
for you. And then you wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't have to make any payments or anything.
I don't know that federal government should be in the process of that. I just don't know.
It's got to be. I mean, we've got Medicaid, you know, which is good for a certain number of people. We've got Medicare for mm-hmm. older people. And they just feel like there's too big of a group in the middle that's our group, the people who actually
sure.
have to pay their own way.
Sure.
I know.
But shouldn't it be the states?
There are people in that group who can't.
Oh, sure. I just wish the states would do it more. I like states' rights.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big believer in states' rights.
But you know how the federal government works. They say, okay, we want the states to take this over, and we want them to do, you know, we want each state to pass their own rules. Now, we're also going to give you each $1 million a week, but only if you do it our way.
Yes, which you're exactly right.
Which I guess technically is not extortion, but sure seems like it.
I don't know if it's the true definition of it, but it's at least
yeah.
on the fringe of that. Because if you remember correctly on the immigration thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, Arizona got really angry that the federal government wasn't enforcing the border, so they were going to do it themselves. The federal government says you can't do that.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, it's our state. What do
yeah.
you mean? You can't do that. That's
yeah.
ridiculous.
And that's where, you know, you start to make people like, well, conservatives angry.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see, because now they're saying, hey, we can come up with a better bill and do this all over
and
again.
People, especially around here, people don't like fewer and fewer choices that I'm allowed to make about my own life.
Yeah. I would like to be responsible for my own life, but I don't know. Maybe I'm one of the few. It doesn't make any sense to me. National news comes up next, followed by Rick Worthington, a local update. We will be back after the news on 670 KBOI.
You're talking about it.
They're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
9:07 now at 670 KBOI. David Allen, Chris Walton here with you. President Trump plans to unveil a new White House office today with sweeping authority to overhaul the federal bureaucracy and fulfill key campaign promises such as reforming care for veterans and fighting opioid addiction.
And as long as he stops and gives us a definition of each one of those words, I'm fine with that.
This is from the Washington Post, by the way.
Okay. So this will not be pro-Trump.
Probably not.
All right.
By harvesting ideas from the business world and potentially privatizing some government functions. I love the titles of the offices. The White House Office of American Innovation, to be led by Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law and senior advisor, will operate as its own nimble power center within the West Wing and will report directly to President Trump.
Oh, I see absolutely no problem there.
Viewed internally as a SWAT team
okay.
of Strategic consultants. Wait. The office will be staffed by former business executives and is designed to infuse fresh thinking into Washington. And then float above the daily political grind and create a lasting legacy for a president still searching for signature achievements.
Oh, that's pretty.
Now you can start saying things.
Well, okay. wow, where do I start? I don't know. I mean, I understand why Trump wants to look at the government as a business, because the government is $17 trillion or more now, but it's about $19 trillion in debt.
Yes.
And even though the government is not supposed to run like a for-profit corporation, they're also not supposed to be $17 trillion
in
debt.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is, I think to most people's minds, a completely ridiculous figure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know,
can't even wrap my brain around it.
Once you get over million and billion, you know, anything that ends in illion is just a larger number.
Yeah.
But a trillion is 1,000 billion.
And
so it's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Because a billion is 1,000 million. Or if you're in England, it's a billion is a million million. But we don't worry about that.
We're not in England. We don't care about that.
We're not in England. Exactly. But and it would be nice if we could get the debt that is owed down to zero. Which I guess we can if we run the government like a for-profit corporation. However, if you have been paying attention to for-profit corporations over the past couple of decades, you know that whenever they need to make the bottom line look a little better, they just pick a few hundred or a few thousand people and get rid of them.
Yeah.
Now, in the government, you can't really do that.
It's difficult to do,
okay.
Yes.
You can. I mean, you can. You can close down a whole branch of the government and get rid of all the people who work there, or you can just take away a whole bunch of the money that you're giving people who are existing on it. Now, you could argue that that's more my responsibility than it is the government's to keep me alive. Mm-hmm. And I suppose it is. And I've always felt like that anyway. But there are people who are in dire straits unless they get their monthly check. I mean, very dire straits, like no relatives, no,
sure,
you know, no support, no ability, no anything. And those people do need some help. We have decided in our civilization that we are a part of. We decided a long time ago that we don't want people to, starve and die simply because they're too old to go to work. We don't want people who are too sick or too infirm to go to work to starve and die. So we gave them a few, things like, here's some food stamps, here's some Social Security, which is great because you pay into it yourself. All of those things are fantastic. Medicare, all those things are great. However, are there already way too many people taking advantage of those things?
Yes.
Or, as the Democrats believe, are not nearly enough people getting to take advantage of those things?
Oof. Trump said in a statement to the Washington Post, all Americans, regardless of their political views, naive, can recognize that government stagnation has hindered our ability to properly function, often creating widespread congestion and leading to cost overruns and delays.
As we've said, government stagnation can be good if you vote no on something stupid.
Yeah.
Okay.
I promised the American people I would produce results and apply my ahead of schedule under budget mentality to the government.
Okay.
In a White House run at times by disorder and competing factions, the Innovation Office represents an expansion of Kushner's already far-reaching influence.
Mm-hmm.
The 36-year-old former real estate and media executive will continue to wear many hats, driving foreign and domestic policy as well as decisions on presidential personnel. He also is a shadow diplomat serving as Trump's lead advisor on relations with China, Mexico, Canada, and the Middle East.
You know why Donald Trump thinks he's brilliant?
Because Ivanka married him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or because he chose to marry Ivanka.
Either way,
Donald Trump thinks is a brilliant move, and so this guy must be the smartest person in the entire world.
And so I say all that to then say this.
All right.
White House advisor Jared Kushner to speak with Senate Intelligence Committee about his ties with Russia.
Yeah, that's been a bit of a problem the last week and a half or so, hasn't it?
Yeah. I don't know that that's... And he volunteered. He wasn't subpoenaed or anything. He's volunteered to speak to the intelligence as part of its inquiry into ties between Trump associates and Russia.
Now, let me say this. I think that you can do business with another country without necessarily being accused of being a spy or an agent for that other country.
Sure.
Okay. I think that like if I owned a, a business where I produced something and I made a big deal to sell a bunch of them to Russia and anything, it wouldn't necessarily mean that I'm in cahoots with Vladimir Putin. Now, that having been said, there are people that these individuals who are now in the U.S. government routinely deal with who are beholden, let's put it that way, to Vladimir Putin. And there are a lot of shady deals that these people have been accused of. Some of them are absolutely true. Not the people in the U.S. government. They're kind of guilty by association,
yes.
It's seeming. But there are things that some of the people in the Russian government, Putin himself included, have done that are just downright, it's more like a dictatorship than it is like a democracy at this point.
Throughout the campaign and transition, Jared Kushner served as an official primary point of contact with foreign governments and officials, a senior administration official told ABC News.
Mm-hmm.
Given his role, he has volunteered to speak with Chairman Burr's committee, but has not yet received confirmation. That first was reported by the New York Times. So I guess my question for everybody is, A, do you have a problem with the son-in-law of the president being appointed to oversee an office in the White House?
As I said, I started to say it anyway. When John F. Kennedy became president, he chose an attorney general. He chose his brother, who was about 34 years old, his little brother. And people thought that was weird. And they thought, well, that shouldn't be. And then at some point, I thought anyway, maybe it was just, one of those things like the Biden rule where it's not an actual rule, but somebody brought it up. And so nobody's done it since then. But is it not, if not egregiously illegal, then at least against procedure to name one of your relatives to an appointed government post at this point? I mean, after Bobby Kennedy was the attorney general, didn't we pass something that said, okay, from now on, we can't just, name the president's mother as this and his son as that and his nephew as, third cousin, whatever. And you're looking it up now, I can tell
you. I am going to be looking it up, yes.
Because I'm not sure what the rule is, but I thought that at some point after the Kennedy / Johnson administration, that that sort of thing was taboo.
336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon Wireless. It's 9:15. We'll talk to you next on 670.
To Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
9:20. That's the saddest story ever.
Yeah.
9:21 now at 6:7. That's why I'm laughing.
Do I have to briefly tell it so people can know what it is?
Let me do this part first. 9:21 now at 670 KBOI. Mm-hmm. KBOI rewards code is SWAT. SWAT, which is that new office in the White House, SWAT.
Well, they said it's going to be like a SWAT team.
Yeah.
Only apparently without special weapons or tactics.
Or that theme song.
Yeah.
From SWAT.
Apparently the word and is okay, but that's about it.
But anyway, SWAT, enter that keyword SWAT and you will get the 5,000 rewards points.
Okay.
Tell your story now.
Well, it's not a great story. It's just when I was in first grade, one of my best friends told everybody 1 week that his family was moving. They were all going to move to a different state.
Okay.
And so on Friday, we had a little party for him in the first grade class. And, the teacher packed up all his stuff from his
desk.
And he was, this is before, this is back when you either carried a book or nothing to school. Nobody had thought of backpacks yet. And so they packed all of his stuff up in a box and a bag, and he took it all home. Well, Monday morning, he was back with all his stuff.
Oh, no.
Because it turns out that his parents were splitting up, and he didn't know the whole story. Yes, his father was moving to a different state, but his mother and himself, neither of them were moving.
That's not good.
And so that was, that was kind of, I don't know. There's not a lot that'll really embarrass a six-year-old, but I think
that would do it.
That's about as much as you can go.
Stunning development here, Chris. You were right.
Okay.
Actually, I was being facetious there. It's all because of a federal law passed in 1967. A public official may not appoint, employ, promote, advance, or advocate for appointment, employment, promotion, or advancement in or to a civilian position in the agency in which he is serving or over which he exercises jurisdiction or control any individual who is a relative of the public official.
So for the president, if you're related to anybody, since you're basically in charge of everything. In the executive branch, then you can't
appoint anybody.
Okay. Now, if you have an advisor, that's not really an appointed position.
It's not. You can advise. So
I guess you can get advice from your son-in-law.
But you can get advice, which he did. But now he's going to be he's in the White House Office of American Innovation. That doesn't sound like an advisor, does it? Sounds like that's his gig.
No, an office sounds like he's got an office.
Yeah. So
and American Innovation simply means we need to figure out more ways to make money you know, in the year 2017, because a lot of the things that we used to make money with back in the early part of last century, those industries don't exist anymore.
Exactly. And I'm all for making smaller government. Federal government. I really am. I'm a big fan of that.
Mm-hmm.
But not at the expense of, like you were saying, people with disabilities and stuff. I don't want those people left out in the cold to where the things that they rely on from the federal government are long.
Well, and to be fair, the average congressman is not Simon Legree.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, they're not there to kick people out of houses. They're not there to make people have a terrible life or anything like that. They're simply trying to be fiscally responsible and somewhat empathetic at the same time. But in order to be both empathetic and fiscally responsible, you have to limit the number of people to whom you are empathetic or sympathetic.
Yes. And
which is pathetic. Well, it's not, but I mean,
I
just sort of followed.
You had too many icks in there.
Yeah. Sounds like a bad meal.
Exactly. I just don't know why people want and or need or require the federal government to do everything for them or to do many things for them.
Okay.
It's frustrating to me.
Some people need lots of help, and it could be the feds, it could be the state, it could be the the city, the county, whatever. Whoever is willing to provide some sort of a service, I mean, that's great. But again, not everybody needs it.
No.
But there are some people who desperately do.
But there are people, and we know it, there are people who are on assistance of some kind from the federal government.
Oh, yeah.
Who are on assistance because it pays very well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot easier and a lot cheaper than going out and getting a job.
True.
And those are the people I don't want to see on that.
I don't like to accuse, and especially, I mean, people tend to get pretty touchy when you bring up disability, because nobody seems to agree what is and what is not a disability.
Well, I will tell you.
Let's put it this way. Can you work at a job if you're able to stay awake for 8 hours at a time?
I would think so.
Or does it require more than that?
Yeah.
And chances are it requires more than that.
A little bit more than
that. But there are people who have, certain disabilities, certain sicknesses or quirks or things like that, that do not allow them to operate well in a regular job.
That's very true. But there are also people who
get a back injury. But yeah, somebody who
and then I see them snowboarding somewhere.
But on the other hand, somebody who's paralyzed, it's like, yeah, let's help that guy out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agree 100%.
And as I've been told a lot, and I always say it too, you can't tell who is and who isn't handicapped just by looking at them.
No, you cannot.
That's not how it works.
And that's ridiculous. And I don't want there to be a test.
You can tell who has a wheelchair and who doesn't, but you can't tell who's really hurting at some point.
Yeah. 9:26, news with Rick Worthington is next on 670 KBOI.
Now's your Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
All right, we both love things that are sweet. We both love things that are deals. And we both love things that are involved with food.
Yeah.
This week's deal?
So we both love sweet deals.
Yeah. Is a $50 certificate to Costa Vida or just $25? We really like sweet deals to Costa Vida.
Definitely love Costa Vida.
Costa Vida uses only the freshest, all-natural ingredients and prides itself on its intensely flavored meals that will leave you energized.
They will.
The stuff they do.
Sweet pork.
To their pulled pork. Yeah, it's so good.
Sweet pork. Get a sweet pork taco. Get a sweet pork burrito.
So good.
Get a sweet pork salad. Get something with sweet pork in it.
Get something with sweet pork in it. Friday morning at 9, go to KBOI.com. Click on the Sweet Deals link to take advantage of this incredible offer.
A few instant messages here. Mari writes, I actually am impressed and relieved that cronyism did not prevail and that thinking Congress folks saw that voting for a bad health care replacement was far worse than, I'll say, ticking off the president and Ryan. It shows those individuals were listening to their constituents and thinking about the future for the country. It took 16 years to come up with the ACA and 9 months of work to get it on board. This 15-day replacement plan was not thought out enough, nor did it effectively address the medical and insurance challenge in this country. Nothing good is done in haste. And again, with his mercurial attention span, the president wants to move on instead of rolling up his sleeves, digging in, and really addressing the issue. And that was kind of that was a problem I had with it, is that normally if you want to pass something like this, you you know, you make your presentation, and then you find out it doesn't have that many votes. You figure out why, and you go ahead and take as much time as you need to get people on board and change things, you know, and make sure you don't tick too many people off when you change things, et cetera. But you don't necessarily set an arbitrary goal and then say, if it's not done by Friday, we're never going to do it, which is kind of what they did.
Yeah, I will agree with her. I've never been a big fan of, hey, just because a Republican says something, all Republicans have to follow it, or just because a Democrat says it, all Democrats have to follow.
Yeah.
Do, on a state level, do what's best for your state, and on a national level, do what's best for the nation. And if this was a bad bill, which I think it really was, then don't vote for it.
Bill of Boise says there are already checks and balances in place for welfare and government assistance. They are not enforced as good as they could be. If the scam scum was removed, it would unclog the system and things would run much better. But then again, I mean, you know, how do you decide?
Yeah, I was going to say. And yes, if a lot of that stuff was taken out, the government would run so much better. But how do you choose what gets taken and what doesn't get taken out?
Well, let's put it this way. If we're trying to make up for $17 trillion in debt, I think the only way to really do that would be to cancel the entire federal government for several years.
Well, you know that every time the government gets ready to shut down,
you'd still pay taxes, but they wouldn't do anything for you except pay off the debt.
Every time the government shuts down, you know, they keep saying, oh, government's going to shut down, government's going to shut down. And then it's shut down for like 2 weeks and nothing really bad happens.
That's a good point.
And everybody kind of goes, oh, we don't really need the government all the time.
Maybe we should shut it down for two weeks every year. Let's do an experiment. Try a month. That works. Try a quarter. Janine of Nampa says, why don't the Republicans just pass their own health care bill? Well, they were trying to.
That's what it was.
All of the Republicans could get together. Choice and competition. I would bet that some on Obamacare that are partially subsidized or not subsidized at all could actually get tailored health care at a better price with lower deductibles, and many would abandon Obamacare for a better choice. And again, I mean, to me, the problem with Obamacare is that in order for it to work, they kind of expected the insurance companies to just take the hit.
And they were never going to.
Which is a stupid idea.
Yeah.
And the insurance companies couldn't take the hit, so a lot of the middle class took a hit. And by that I meant, you know, you went from having a $500 deductible to having a $4,000 deductible or something of that nature.
Exactly.
And, you know, which is great, except that you can go the entire year and it won't pay for any of your doctor visits or medication, possibly.
Yeah, I'd have to go to the doctor every day to get up to mine. And I know why they did it, why they instituted the fine, because Obamacare only would work well if everybody bought in. And, you know, so they needed everybody. But I hated that fact that the government was making you get health insurance, even if you didn't want it.
David of Boise says, why can't there be a government insurance with government hospitals and facilities, which would be socialized medicine? That's what they have in Canada. That's what they have in England and Scandinavia. We don't have it in America, but we do have government insurance with government hospitals and facilities, but you have to be in the military to take advantage of it. It's
the VA. Yeah.
And as you've, you know, as you've probably noticed, the VA occasionally has problems.
Because a lot
of that has to do with the fact that they're run by the federal government. Dave of Boise says President Trump did have a plan, I am sure, but only part of it was used because of the way our system is set up. Well, that's politics. The part that made it to Congress was a shaved down version that they could get everybody to agree on, only to be denied. So what's the point of that? Why can't President Trump just override everybody like Obama did to get it started in the first place? Well, he can do that with some things. You know, those are the executive orders. But as we found out during the first couple of weeks of the Trump administration, when he was canceling Obama's executive orders, that can be done as well.
Yeah.
Quickly here, the disgruntled vet wrote in to say Ron Paul was asked why he always voted no. He said because he always read the bills.
Oh, and I see that's so weird.
I like that.
That's
like
so
that.
Weird. And I will tell you.
And that way it's not a political thing. It's like I'm going. It's like he's his own judge.
Yeah.
I'm going to decide whether this is a good idea or constitutional or not and then vote on it accordingly, regardless of what anybody else does.
And I will tell you, I've said it here before that I love the Daily Mail UK. I love that website.
Yeah. Well, you know, and of course, a lot of that's fake, but yeah, okay.
I know.
Yeah.
But a lot of it's interesting. And that's where I get my wacky stories when I fill in for you.
Sure.
But I will tell you that. In the NHS, a lot of people love it over there, But I see at least one story every week about a botched job.
NHS, National Health Service in the United Kingdom.
I will tell you, there's a botched something or somebody, some girl is diagnosed and only has 6 months to live because they would never give her whatever test she wanted to do because she was only 21.
Right.
Even though she knew she had issues, and then they find out that she's got cervical cancer and there's nothing you can do about it.
And those are the stories where we find out that, well, even socialized medicine has problems.
Yes, exactly. You know, so there's no perfect system.
It's just wonderful. Well, it's wonderful, but in a different way than this is wonderful.
All right. We're going to take a break here real quick. 9:44. We're going to talk to Kevin Squared. Two Kevins on the line. That's next on 670 KBOI.
For most of the people that walk...
8 o'clock hour, you can't do it right. 9 o'clock hour, you can't do it right. 9:48 now at 670 KVOI. David Allen and Chris Walton here with you. Let's go to the phones, 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. Kevin in Boise, you're on 670 KVOI. How are you today?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
We are doing well, thank you.
Awesome. So I know Nate doesn't care, but, you know, we all do.
The rest of us do, exactly.
So, no, I got in my truck and started taking off, and I heard you guys talking about somebody said something about, you know, the healthcare, government-run healthcare through, you know, the other countries and whatnot. And you were saying something about it's militaries kind of that way.
The question the person asked was, why can't there be U.S. government hospitals and, you know, that where you have insurance that pays for things and you go to a government hospital? And I said, well, they do have that. That's called the VA, but you have to have been in the military.
And it's kind of funny, ironically, listening to these people say these things. Apparently, they were never raised military.
Yes, obviously.
Yeah. So, I mean, because they never had to go to a hospital to get treatment or go to the ER room to get treatment. As a military brat, I was an active, pretty darn active kid. And I've actually, Holloman Air Force Base was one of the air bases that we stayed at. You know, so, I mean, and it was right there. I in my youth where I was playing baseball, football, and I had broken this and broken that and smashed fingers. And you know, I mean, I got taken care of, but there's a few things that don't work very well anymore because they didn't quite get set right, you know. So, and it's all good. I mean, you know, I'm still alive and kicking, and that's a beautiful thing, but it's just that they've never had that experience of what goes on in military bases and what goes on in their healthcare systems. And I just think there's too much waste in government spending, period, and how are we going to try and protect that in our healthcare costs?
Kevin, I will tell you, it wasn't until I was 18 that I ever went to a doctor off of a base. I didn't even know I didn't know the first thing about going.
Yeah, David was raised as an Air Force kid.
To Loveless, because we always, I lived on base, and we always just went to the base hospital.
Yeah, and I agree. And then I mean, the only time that we did is when my dad retired, and I was probably about 14 at that time. And we moved up to Coeur d'Alene, and then I had to go through all these other little, you know, dentists.
Yeah.
Now, when my wife was born, her father was already in the Army. And when she finally got married and was out on her own, I'm not her first husband, but when she finally got married and moved out on her own when she was about 19, that was the first time that she ever went to a hospital that was off post.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just interesting. I mean, there is a difference in the care that you get on a military base versus, you know, in the private sector. And then also at the end of this, you know, I mean, the VA, which, you know, they were going through all that, you know, hoopla with, you know, with Obama and what was not being done. And my father was going through a hard time of his life. He fell off a ladder and didn't do very well after that. And, you know, he had 22 years as an active member and then another 22 as a DOD. So we took him to the VA all the time, and I just roll my eyes back every time I walked into that place. And even though the one here in Boise is one of the better ones, it's still off par.
Sure.
You know,
well, you know, Paul Jay used to talk about his, I think his father-in-law has passed on now, but he said his father-in-law would come down from Montana where he lived to go to the VA in Boise because it was better than what they had.
Right. Yeah, but it's only so much better.
Right.
I mean, you know, I kept asking him questions because he kept saying he was tired. And I'm going, what's going on with that? And so finally after the accident, you know, we started checking in, and it turns out he had some cardio problems, but they really weren't aware of, you know, it was just like, okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just think they kind of push him aside, hurry him along so they don't have to spend any more money on him. And it's a sad situation. Mm-hmm. We'll treat our veterans that way, and I sure as hell don't want to be treated that way in the private sector.
Exactly, Kevin. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
You bet.
I will tell you that it's so weird to go to a hospital after going to a military base hospital and walk in and you're just standing there and they're like, can I help you? Like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I don't know the first thing to do. I'm lost. I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Well, with me, that's just called walking into a hospital.
Oh, okay.
I never know where I'm going anyway.
Kevin and Wilder, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today?
Good morning, guys. I'm great. How about yourself?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I've got a pretty good solution on how to get a good health care bill, but first, I just a little bit about the woes of Obamacare. I was self-employed, and our insurance company pulled out of Idaho, so we were forced to go on the state exchange, even though we made in excess of $100,000 a year, and our deductibles went up, everything went up. I mean, basically, we paid for everything, and this year, I've got to get quite a bit of medical work done, and I just can't work, so we shut it down. We had zero income. I'm worth in excess of $500,000, and it's the first year I was denied the ability to buy insurance without an income.
That's ridiculous.
I could take several years off, take money out of my savings, and buy all the insurance I wanted to, and they wouldn't, because of the way it's designed, I couldn't even buy insurance. So we made up some plans and figured out how to get an income this year, and we'll get through it. But anyhow, we were able to get insurance, and I'm getting some medical work done, and hopefully I'll be back to work in a couple of years. But anyhow, the thing is they didn't design this thing to work. They wanted it to fail. If they wanted it to work, they went out and they've got, what, 10, 20 million people on it, less than a tenth of the population, and they want this big risk pool. What they would have done is they would have put all government employees, all people in favor of it would have jumped into it. Maybe all bureaucrats and politicians would have gone into it, but they didn't want this big pool. They just designed this thing to fail, and like you said earlier, to fail on the backs of the insurance companies, which I'm no fan of insurance either. Like Paul
well,
did.
And if you're trying to push socialized medicine and getting away from the current system, that's probably the way to do it, is to say that, okay, here's the best we could do to help people, and that doesn't work, so we have to help everyone now.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I've heard a statistic, you know, one of the problems with government insurance like Canada is that they have the more CAT scan or CT scan machines in veterinary offices in Orange County, California, than for people in the entire nation of Canada.
Thanks for the call, Kevin. We appreciate it.
And again, that's one of those stats. I don't know if it's true, but it certainly sounds true.
Yeah. Mark in Homedale, I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to get to you. You only got like 20 seconds left in the show. So call Friday when it's open phones, or give Paul Jay and Chris a call tomorrow and see what they have to say about it.
Yeah, if I remember what he looks like.
Yeah, Mark in Homedale.
Boise rabble-rouser says, as more and more of his base desert him, only a political stiff like Trump would blame the Democrats for his colossal health care failure. And Ryan proves he is or was never a wonky political genius. No, just another empty suit playing a role.
All right, thanks for listening today. Have a great rest of your Monday. Stay dry. Could be some rain later today. National news, local news come up next, and then Rush Limbaugh will be on. This will be the first time he'll have to speak about the failed health care bill also. You won't want to miss it on 670 KBOI.